Good evening. Time to get our evening service started. Great place to be today. Beautiful day today. And strange thing, we even have a little humidity now. That's a good thing. We might not think so by the time the summer's over, but we think so now. You know, it's either too hot or too cold or too windy or too rainy or something too much. But God gives us what we need. You know, last night I was watching you talking about people being impatient. You know, I heard somebody say on the news this week, if somebody's driving fast, we say, I hope the cops catch them. If they're driving too slow, they're holding us up. You know, are we really happy with anything? So we had the grandkids over last night. We were watching a basketball game. They want to watch something else, of course. And Briar said, well, why don't you just go over and see who won at the end? And we had to explain to her, the game's not over yet. You can't turn over and see who won to the end. But, you know, we know who's going to win. I thought of that when she said that. I said, we know who's going to win. We can turn over to the back, Jimmy, and we know. Said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I had read this not long ago when I did a Wednesday night thing. And I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. We're not going to have to worry about any more of what's going on down here. We're going to be there. It's hard to imagine. We were talking at work this week about it's never entered into the mind of man. One of the painters I work with, he and I are always having a conversation at break. It's never entered into our mind how good it's going to be. I don't think we can go there, Jim. But we're going to go there one day. If we hold true to him, we're going to go there. Chris has got a few songs for us. Anybody got anything to say, any testimonies, anything? It's certainly in order, and we want you to do that.
Lord. 16.
We'll be right back.
Let's all stand, turn to page 160. 160 as the choir goes down.
I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day.
I think a lot of times we sing these songs, we've heard them so much, but do we really listen to what the words say? There's a lot of meaning, a lot of work went into writing these songs, a lot of inspiration. We need to take them to heart. At this time, we need to go to prayer. I have a couple praises, actually, that I asked prayer for my cousin on Wednesday night, and he'd had a heart attack. Well, Thursday, they put a stent in, and I was going by the hospital to see him on Friday, and he was on his way home. But I called him, and I said, asked him how he was doing, and he really talked really well, sounded really good. I said, you know, Jack, we've been praying for you. And he said, and he's never professed, but he said, it must have worked. But you remember him. There's still work to do on Jack. His heart was fixed, but his heart's not cured, if you know what I mean. So we need to remember him. Charlotte, I asked prayer for her there last week. She couldn't hardly get around at all, and she's doing a lot better. But, you know, she does have a curvature issue of her spine and arthritis and, you know, the natural aging things that we all go through. But just remember her. Remember Charlotte's brother Danny. He's been off work now for almost a month, and he has two boys. And you know what that does to for a family's budget. But he's getting to see Dr. Walker this week, so let's pray that you know that he gets some help. Anyone else? Yeah, I like to remember my old boy Jeffrey. He's on his way to San Francisco right now and for a week and with his work. And then he turns around and comes home Friday and leaves Monday to go to Houston. So it seems like he's a jet setter. But he likes being home with the kids. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You got one, my oldest boy Parker's getting ready to start college. So you know how that goes. You got to work. But I'm proud of him. I always make sure I message him and tell him that I'm proud of him, the things that he's accomplished. And I'm thanking God for him being able to accomplish those things. But I did tell him I wanted a little bit of money back investment on his college, but so far I hadn't seen that. I don't know if that'll happen sooner or later, but you get anything back, you don't get no. Amen. I was looking at that this morning. It's awesome. Yeah. Anyone else? We've got a lot to pray for, a lot to be thankful for. We need to remember our government. And I try to think of that every day. You know, that we need God back in our government, in our school, in everything. We certainly do. Anyone else? If not, let's each lead out in our own prayer. Anyone have a testimony? Anyone? One thing I failed to mention is my brother Tom is having a heart cath this week. He's come here with me several times, but just remember Tom. He's had heart issues for some time, so hope that they'll find out what's going on with him. Anyone else? Bless you, Charlie. Amen. It has. That's right. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Charlie. Amen. I didn't ask to see who our speaker is tonight. Jimmy, would you pray as he comes?
Tell you, I'm mixed full of emotions tonight. I got two different testimonies I want to give before I get into my message. First one is a couple people here tonight I'm glad to see. First, I'm glad to see Tina and Frank here. Tina, for some reason, I wasn't too familiar. I actually had to ask Mom your name. For some reason, I couldn't remember. But when I saw you up there, I remember as a kid, whenever I would watch in the choir, and as a kid, you're not always paying attention in service the way you should be, but I would just kind of be dazing off watching the choir, and for some reason, I guess I would see, and you always tap your foot, and it's like, it always looked as if you were really into the music, and I didn't realize I noticed that as a kid, right? But whenever you guys started going to a different church, and I realized I missed that, actually. And I was thankful to see you here, and I was thankful to see you tapping your foot again up here in the choir. And glad to see the Hills here tonight. We've been praying for Chuck for a while. And I tell you, Zach and Alex, I enjoy having them as other youth in the church. I'm not super close to them, but whenever we have, the youth teen retreat, and every time I've been in class with them, very, very sincere-hearted Christian boys, and I appreciate that, because when I'm in class and I'm paying attention and learning, and sometimes I look around and I feel like I'm the only one that cares what this teacher's saying, but when Zach and Alex are interacting and they're answering questions, and I just enjoy being around that, and I know that if God wants them to do something, they're going to say it up and do it, and I don't know, I'm just thankful to be here with them tonight. And in second, and then lastly, my aunt and my cousin are here tonight, and I was thinking about that, and they're great Christian family, and I was thinking, it seems like everybody in my family is a great Christian, and I'm just blessed to be a part of the family that I'm a part of. My grandmother knows more about the Bible than I could ever know, and teaches me a lot. And I'm sorry, but just super emotional right now. Just blessed, overwhelmed, blessed, and I haven't really had a grandpa in my life. They either died when I was young or died before I was born, and I even have a step-grandfather that's a great Christian, and just beyond blessed tonight. And my dad's side of the family, a lot of my Christians there too. I saw a post on Facebook, my uncle, who was also my bus driver, him and his wife were at a Christian concert, and it just seems like anywhere I turn in my family, they're Christians, and they're serious about it, and I'm thankful for that, because anywhere I turn in my life, anyone who has an influence in my life has influenced me to take this Christianity thing seriously, and that it's real, and I'm just blessed. And the second testimony is this whole weekend I've been learning antibiotics. I've been having to memorize antibiotics, and it's a pain. There's not really any rhyme or reason to them. You just have to literally sit down and just try to memorize them, and got a big test in the morning, so I'm a little overwhelmed with stress from that. But I was studying yesterday, and I wanted to take a break for a little bit, so I went outside and shot basketball a little bit just to be outside. And our neighbors are the Stewarts, Jason and Jessica, and their kids. And I went out around lunchtime and shot around a little bit, taking a break, and they were out there playing on the trampoline, all three of the kids. And then I went out later, I came back in and studied, and about 5 o'clock went back out and shot a little more, and they were still out there playing on the trampoline. And I was sitting there, I could hear them. Of course, it's quiet outside. I could just hear them laughing and having a good time. And I was just shooting, and I remember being that young and just stress-free, having a good time, and not realizing what all God would have for me in my life at that age. And I was just thinking about from that age till now, what all God's done for me, and what it's just, I hardly have had any trouble in my life, and God has just provided time and time and time again. And I just felt so overwhelmed and blessed, and just looking back at all that God's done for me. And at one point I heard Addison singing, and I didn't know what she was singing. I was trying to listen. I figured she'd be singing some Disney song or something like that. And I tried to hear what she was singing, and she was singing the God's Not Dead song. And when I heard what she was singing when I was shooting, I just started tearing up. I thought it was awesome. She was singing at the top of her lungs. It was just awesome. It's just awesome to hear a kid, in, you know, just the innocence, just stress-free, praising God, just having a good time. And one day, we're going to all be in heaven, stress-free, praising God, having a good time, praising Him together. And that's just what it reminded me of when I heard her doing that. But, all right, sorry for all the emotions. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 9. We're going to read one verse there, and then we're going to turn to Matthew. And the question I want to ask tonight is, are you ready for Christ's return? And different things people have said have kind of hit on different parts of the message tonight. But are we ready for Christ's return? And I want to start out in Zechariah chapter 9. And then we're going to read verse 9, and it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Now, that's just an odd verse to bring up. Well, that's a prophecy right there. He's prophesying about, what's he prophesying about here? Basically Palm Sunday, right? When Christ came into Jerusalem on the donkey. And it says here that he's talking about the king, how he would come in and then say that he was just and having salvation, that he would be bringing salvation, and that he would come lowly, meaning he would come humbly. He'd become riding on the donkey. And it also mentions the colt, which I just thought that was kind of odd. The colt, I never remembered a colt being in the story. But let's turn to Matthew chapter 21, where this actually happens. Now remember, this prophecy happened at least 500 some years before Palm Sunday. And there's some details of Palm Sunday that I didn't really pay attention to. So we're going to read that. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." Then it says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." So, that's basically exactly the verse that we read in Zechariah. Except the only difference that I saw was that in Zechariah it says that Christ would be lowly, and here it says that he would cometh unto thee, meek. So that's basically the same as just saying that he would come humbly. And interesting thing about that, it's so true the way Christ lived. And as it says in Zechariah, the king would come unto the just and having salvation, but he would come lowly. So he's a great king, and he's bringing salvation, and he is just, but he comes in just as humbly and lowly as if he's no greater than anyone else. And that's how Christ lived, and that's the example that he set. But I thought it was so awesome whenever God showed me this scripture, and then I referenced here to Matthew, that the prophecy was exactly like it said it was going to happen 500 years before that. And I thought that's so amazing. This Bible is so amazing, the way that everything that God has everything planned out and worked together, and the prophecies all have come true, there's still prophecies that are to come true. But I thought this was very reassuring that it happened just like the prophecy said it was. Christ said it himself. He said, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find. So basically, he's saying, Christ told these two disciples, he said, go into the village, and you will, it says, you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. So he's saying you are going to find a donkey and a colt there. And that's because he knew that Christ knew the prophecies, and Christ knew exactly what would happen. And that's exactly what happened. They went and they found him. So let's keep on reading. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, which is another prophecy there that Christ would come from the lineage of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of the Nazareth of Galilee. And I just thought that how awesome that was, that a prophet that God spoke to give a prophecy 500 years before this day. And then when Christ comes to this day, he says, You're going to go find the donkey and the colt here. The disciples went, and that's exactly what happened, just like the prophecy said. And that should just show as confirmation to us of how everything in this Bible is true. That when God says it is going to happen, it's going to happen. And it was just reassuring to me to see that. And now this is talking about the first coming of Christ, basically. Whenever he was born, and then he would come into Jerusalem and his first coming. But there are also prophecies about the second coming, right? When he's going to come again. So what we know is that we see how this prophecy came true, just exactly like it was prophesied, and that's prophecies of the first coming. So if there's prophecies about the second coming, then we know that they're going to come true as well. So we've got to be looking, and we have to be expecting that Christ is going to come again. And we can be assured of that. There's no doubt about it that if the prophecies say that he will come again, he is going to come again. Just like this first prophecy said here, talking about how you would come in and come on the donkey and the colt and all that. That's exactly how it happened. Just like that, the second coming of Christ prophecies, they're going to happen the same way. And so if we would turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 27 through 28. And it says, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So there it's saying what's going to happen. He's going to come back again the second time. So we know that if that's what it says, then it's going to happen. So, the question I want to ask is, are we prepared for that? I mean, are we prepared for that second coming that is going to happen? You know, there's just no doubt about it, that Christ is coming back. And in verse 27 it says, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So what that's kind of saying is, we've got one life to live, and then once we die, then comes the judgment. And that judgment will be God judging our hearts and whether we were a sincere believer in Christianity, a believer in Him, a follower of Him. That's what that judgment will be. And if He judges our heart to be that we aren't this sincere Christian or we aren't a true believer, there's no second chance. It says it appointed men once to die. So are we ready for that second coming, whether it be whenever we die and go to and see Christ face to face, or whenever we die, or whenever He comes back the second time, are we ready? And so it says there in 28, So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for Him shall He appear the second time. And then I want to read a little paragraph I found on the internet that somebody had researched, and they had estimated some numbers. I'm sure their numbers aren't exact, but it just kind of gives you an idea of how many prophecies there are about the second coming. We know there's a lot of prophecies about the first coming of Christ and how they all came true and how Christ fulfilled all those prophecies, but there's also just as many, actually there's more prophecies about the second coming. And I didn't kind of realize that until I read this, but it says, biblical prophecy provides some of the greatest encouragement and hope available to us today. Just as the Old Testament is saturated with prophecies concerning Christ's first advent, so both Testaments are filled with references in the second coming of Christ. One scholar has estimated that there are about 1,800 references to Christ's second coming in the Old Testament, where 17 books give those references. In the 260 chapters of the New Testament, there are 318 references to the second coming of Christ, an amazing one out of every 30 verses. So one out of every 30 verses in the New Testament, there is a reference to Christ coming again in some way, the second time. And then 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to the second coming. For every prophecy in the Bible concerning Christ's first coming, there are 8 which look forward to his second. So there's basically 8 times as many references to Christ's second coming than there are to Christ's first coming. So I just kind of thought that was interesting. But as we know, we saw how the prophecies of his first coming came true. The second coming prophecies are going to come true too. So if we're not ready, we should be pretty worried right now. If we are somebody who's not saved or aren't prepared for the second coming, that could happen at any time. I remember when I wasn't saved, I got saved at 9 years old. But when I started to realize that I wasn't saved and that any day, you know, anything could happen. I could die, Christ could come back tomorrow, you never know. And at that age, that scared me, right? And so I wanted to get saved as soon as possible. And because I knew that that was true, that Christ could come back, and he will come back. And that scared me, because I wasn't ready. And so if you're here tonight and you're not ready, Christ is coming back. And that's just the point I want to make is that he is going to return, and he can return at any point. And I'm not trying to scare you, but it would be scary. I remember how scared I was whenever I wasn't saved, and I heard about that Christ could come back at any moment, or I could die at any moment, and I only have this one life, this one chance to become a Christian. And if I'm not, then I know where I would be going, and that's hell, and I wouldn't get to go to heaven. And as I talked about earlier, heaven is going to be so amazing. As I talked about Addison singing that song and how she was just stress-free, just praising God and having a good time, and that reminded me of how heaven's going to be when we're just stress-free, praising God, just having a good time. And so God judges the heart. I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 1. And this is the last area of Scripture we'll turn to. But as I mentioned in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and it said, as it is important unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. I kind of thought about that judgment, and I had somebody, and the judgment, to me, the most important thing about a Christian is their heart, the sincerity of their heart. I don't really look at the way that they act or the way that the things that they do. I want to see if, and of course I'm not the one to judge, but I look at the heart. I think, and that's what God does. God looks at the heart. A lot of times we can't see, and just my opinion. But I feel as if God would rather have a Christian who is a sincere, genuine heart, truly loves Him, and they may slip up here and there, rather than a Christian who's just, you know, they believe it. They're not super sincere about it, but they never mess up. They never sin. I think God would rather have that Christian who genuinely, truly loves Him and is just a sincere heart. I think God cares about the heart the most, more than how many times we mess up. I think He really cares about our heart, and that's what He's talking about. And when He says, "After this, the judgment," He's going to be judging our hearts and where our hearts lies in this grand scheme of whether we believe in this or not. But anyways, I had a girl talk to me. I had a girl text to me before I came here tonight. And she was upset, and she was saying, you know, I feel guilty. I feel really guilty about things that I've done. And she was like, I just can't stop feeling guilty. I just can't get over it. And she's like, I just feel like I can't talk to anyone. And, So she was texting me about it, and out of nowhere, she was texting me about it. So I was trying to talk to her, and that's what I told her. I said, God looks at the heart the most. And I think the fact that she feels so guilty about it shows that her heart is sincere, that she knows, right? And she's from all I've ever known her, she's a strong Christian girl. And I just kind of confirmed that with her. I was just trying to tell her, you know, the fact that you are feeling guilty about it shows that you really believe in this Christianity thing, that you know what's right and wrong, and that you really are sorry about it, and that you really do want forgiveness for it. And that's what God wants. That God wants that sincere heart that really wants forgiveness. Anyways, I don't know if that made any sense, but that's just kind of just something that happened right before I came here. I thought might have kind of related to this message a little bit. But Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And this is Paul. This is a prayer from Paul to the Philippian believers. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's also referencing that second coming. When he is coming back in, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And that's just saying with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ. Once again, referencing that second coming, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And this would be a reference, what I got out of this was, if we are ready for the second coming of Christ, Paul's kind of telling us that we should be continuously growing as a Christian. So if you're here and you say, and as I talked about earlier, if you're not ready for Christ's second return, then we need to get ready. But if you are ready, then we have to be continuously growing in our Christian walk until that second coming happens, or until we die and we are face the judgment. That's what Paul's saying here. It says in verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in judgment. So he's kind of saying that he wants that we as Christians should be growing continuously. And you say, well, you know, I've read this, you know, we can grow. There's all kind of different ways that we can grow, whether it be if we, you say, maybe, well, my Christian walk is, I testify, you know, Wednesday nights. Well, you could grow, you could testify, how about not just whenever you feel like it on a Wednesday night, you could testify when God would want you to testify. It could be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, any time. Or you say, you know, my Christian walk is, and that's kind of what Jimmy referenced this morning, that we kind of get in a routine of things, that this is how they know me as, or this is, you know, how I live my life, this is just how they know, I can't change now. But Christ wants us to, and God wants us to continuously grow in our Christian walk, continuously, until that second coming happens. And we can see how much Paul grew in his Christian walk, right? He went from Saul, who despised Christians, and wanted to kill Christians, to this Paul, who is writing and a mentor for other believers, right? So you can see the growth that he had, and that's the same for us. We should be continuously growing as well. The growth that he had, as it says here, for God is my record, is what he's saying. So he's saying God knows, and he says, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ, meaning how greatly I long after you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. The same type of affection that Christ showed is how much he cares for this group of believers, the Philippian believers. And to think that Paul grew from Saul, who despised Christians, to Paul now, who cares for Christians with the affection of that Jesus Christ had, that same affection. What a growth that is, right? And he grew from hating Christians to loving Christians just as much as Christ, almost as much as Christ loved them, is what he's kind of saying here. And he says, God is my record. He's saying, God knows how much I love you all. And so that's just a tremendous growth. And we should be making those same growths in our Christian walk as well. From when we start, when we first started being Christians, right, we wanted to try to get into a routine of things. It was all new to us, and then we just kind of want to get settled down. A lot of it was kind of nerve-wracking for us, just the beginning of things. And a lot of us, we get settled in those first, few months or years as a beginning Christian, and then we never really grow or develop past that, right? But this is saying, Paul's saying here, he says, "In this I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in judgment." So he's more and more, meaning we should continuously be growing in our Christian walk, whether it be in prayer, whether we, start praying more times of the day or praying for more people, whether it be, testifying more, going to church more, whatever it is, we should continuously be making those strides and growths in our Christian walk. And I kind of thought about that, and I thought, well, my grandmother knows so much about the Bible. How could she ever grow any more in this, right? And there's so many levels to this Bible that we can never understand at all. And just like in this in the Palm Sunday thing, I knew the whole idea of Palm Sunday and how Christ came in on a donkey, but I didn't really understand. I didn't really know much about the prophecy that happened 500 years ago, or the fact that the colt that he said would be found with that donkey had any significance. I was like, a colt, that didn't even have any part of the story. But I look back at the prophecy where the prophecy said there would be a colt and there would be a donkey. And that's exactly what happened. So there's just so many different things, even the small things in this Bible and God's Word that we can grow in, that can have an impact on us, and that we can continuously grow in our walk. And so we can see how much Paul grew. And two examples of growth. They say that sharks, how big sharks can get, 8 feet, even bigger probably. And sharks are usually known as big animals or big fish. But they said if you put sharks in like a small fish tank, that it can fully develop into an adult developed shark, but it'd be super tiny. It'd be 6 inches maybe, or just small to the size of the tank. And it could have all the adult features of an 8-foot shark. But that's just, it just grows to what the tank that it's in. But then if you put that same type of shark into the ocean, it'll grow to 8 feet long, and it'll have the same features of an adult shark. But that's just kind of saying that we've got to kind of expand our boundaries. We've got to put ourselves out into the open boundaries to allow ourselves to grow. And the fish tank may be safer than the ocean, right? But it keeps us confined. It doesn't let us grow. So sometimes it's not easy to go out into the big areas, like the ocean, where it might not feel too comfortable, might not feel too safe. But it takes trials in our life. God uses those to allow us to grow, and we have to have those trials in our lives, or we won't grow. Just like the fish in the small tank, that's safe confined space, it won't grow. But when we get out into the ocean, where there might be some trials, there might be some problems, there might be some issues that are not fun for us, that might be a lot of work for us to get through, but it allows us to grow. And that's what Paul's telling us, that we need to grow, continuously grow in our Christian walk. And then the last example I want to give is a little girl, or not a little girl, I guess a school-age girl, was talking to Albert Einstein. And we all know Albert Einstein as the frizzy hair, the gray, whenever he was an older man, and she's, of course, she's in school, she's younger, and she asked him one time, she said, what do you study, or what is your profession, what do you call your profession? And he said, my profession is that I've committed my life to the study of physics, or that my profession is that I study physics. And she's like, physics? She's like, I finished that a year ago. And he's like, of course, she didn't obviously her age, she didn't understand that, to truly commit to something, you can. And Einstein, we would all consider Einstein to be a genius in physics, probably the person who knows the most about physics and started the most basics of physics that we know it today, right? We wouldn't think that he would need to grow, but even Einstein, the master of physics, was continuously growing, continuously studying physics his whole life, and that's the same for us. We may think that we know a lot in a certain area of our Christian walk, but there's just so much more room for growth. If we're really committed to this Christian walk and this Christianity thing, we have to continuously grow and continuously study, commit our lives. Just like Einstein committed to physics to continually study it and grow, it's the same for us with Christianity. Don't know if that made sense to have that connection, but I thought that was kind of funny. The girl didn't really understand studying something for your whole life, but it's and kids today might not even understand as far as Christianity, and a lot of older Christians may not understand that. But if we're truly committed to God and to Christ, it's just a continuous growth throughout our lives, and continuous commitment to continue to grow. So if they would get a song, the question is, are we ready for Christ's second coming? We know the prophecy was talking about the first coming and how he would come on Palm Sunday on the donkey and the colt and all this stuff, how that came true just exactly like it said it would 500 years before, 500 years later after that prophecy, and it happened. And there's also prophecies about the second coming. And so we know that if the first prophecies came true, that the second coming prophecies are going to come true too. So Christ is coming back. And the question is, are we ready? And if you're not ready, that's a scary place. Because at any point, he could come back. We don't know the hour, the day, the time. And it says that he will come at an unexpected. He'll come whenever you're least expecting it. Like a thief in the night, right? And so any time he could come back. We never know. We do not know when that day will be. So if you're not ready for that second coming, you can be ready tonight. And if you're not sure, you're not so sure if you're ready as you used to be. You can come tonight, pray about it. That's the best thing to do, is pray about it. Besides that, talk to somebody about it. Talk to God about it. Talk to me, talk to Rob, Aaron, Jimmy, Al, anybody. Talk to anybody, any Christian that you trust about it. Sometimes the best thing is talking to somebody, getting that assurance through them and through God, and allowing God to talk through them to you. And then if you are ready, the question is, if you are ready for Christ's second coming, are we growing? Or have we become kind of just stationary? Are we in that small fish tank? Or are we out in the ocean allowing ourselves to grow? So that's just kind of what I wanted to ask tonight. Are we ready for Christ's return? And if we are, are we growing? So as we stand and as they sing, if you have any need, whatever it may be for yourself, family, friends, anything, the altar's open. You can get that growth tonight, or you can get saved tonight. Whatever it is, the altar's open for you.
We sang it before. We're going to sing it again because it's appropriate with your sermon. I was looking in the back of the book for under the headings of Second Comings, and it's the only song I knew. So we're going to do that again. Debbie, what a day that will be, okay? 160.